Well, first thing I'd like to
let's
do
go right to Coach Sark's weekly news conference.
An apology to Longhorn Nation. I made a mistake at the end of the game and not singing the Eyes of Texas when the game was done. That was not anything intentional. That was not anything that had to do with our players. I think our players just followed me up the ramp into the locker room. Obviously upset by the way the game ended, and literally walked off the field. So I apologize to everybody for that. That'll never happen again. But again, it was not intentional. It was not premeditated by any means. That was just a mistake on my part. Nothing to do with the players. They had followed my lead on that. So that won't happen again. I think in assessing the ball game, a lot of what I thought post game, I think when you look at the tape, really holds true. I thought we created quite a few explosive plays, especially in the first half of the game offensively. Second half really struggled to find rhythm in what we were doing. We had some opportunities late in the game to make some plays. Didn't quite capitalize on it. Really struggled on third down in the second half. I think we were 1 for 9 or something on third down in the second half of that game, which in turn, a lot of three and outs. We were getting off the field, and I thought our defense played pretty well in the third quarter and gave us a chance. You know, they were getting off the field on third down, but over time, into the fourth quarter, they were able to sustain some drives. The quarterback used his leg some on third down. They extended some drives and obviously outscored us 14-0 in the fourth quarter. So, you know, when you talk about playing complementary football, I don't think that we did a great job of that, of giving our defense a rest, maybe as we did in the Iowa State game where we were able to kind of get back on the field, sustain a drive to get them some rest to go play. So penalties obviously played a huge factor in the game. 14 penalties enforced on us. I think we had one or two others called or offsetting penalties. So way too many penalties, way too many self-inflicted wounds, pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball. False starts, offsides, and then naturally the DPIs, you know, the pass interference on us calls were big in the game. And they had none. You know, that's the way it goes. That's a lot of yardage that you're giving up and getting yourself behind the eight ball that can affect the game. All in all, you know, I think for our team, it was a very frustrating loss. Oklahoma State's a good football team. We felt like we could go in there and win that game. I thought we had more than ample opportunity to do so. Didn't take advantage of it. But now we're into a bye, and I think the bye is much needed. We're a little banged up as a football team right now. So we've got a lot of work to do. This week will be dedicated to getting healthy, one. Two, developing a little bit more depth on our team going into these final four games so that we can rely on some of these younger players, maybe not so much just on offense and defense, but on special teams, where a lot of our key players are playing a lot of snaps, which showed up Saturday. I think we played 46 snaps on special teams, which was a lot of plays. And I thought our special teams played fantastic. They had a heck of a game against a good special teams team. One, getting healthy. Two, development of those young players so that we can gain trust in them to put them on the field to do what they need to do. And then lastly, understand the opportunity that we have. We've got a great opportunity. There's a lot of football left to be played in the Big 12. We've got a great opportunity with some quality opponents, you know, coming down the barrel. And we need to play well in these games to hopefully give us an opportunity to still make it to Dallas. But we've got to control what we can control. As I say to the players, we got to mow our own lawn. And that's taking care of business in 2 weeks when we go to Manhattan. So a lot of work to do. Frustrating that we didn't come out with a victory. There were some positives in the game that I'm proud of the guys, but didn't play well enough consistently in the game to come out on top.
Start up front. One quick one. Do you have an update on Anthony Cook?
Yeah. So Anthony Cook ended up having a broken arm. I think the key for us, obviously with the bye, having 2 weeks between games, we'll just got to monitor this thing closely. We've seen people play with broken bones before. He's week to week for us right now. We'll see how quickly he can get back.
And then you mentioned depth in all three phases, but with Cook's loss, and then after both Jaron and Jade played 100 snaps, is the secondary a focus of that area?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, because not only are they playing those snaps on defense, they're critical players for us on special teams. You know, Jaron's a key component of our special teams. Anthony Cook's a key component to special teams. Jade's a key component to special teams. Jalen Gilbo's given us a lot of reps on special teams. Ryan Watts, who wasn't able to finish the game, was a key component on special teams. Michael Taff is a key component. So, you know, we've got to find some secondary players that can contribute, maybe not as a frontline starter on offense, but can be a backup on defense or on defense, but can be a backup player on defense, but contribute, you know, 10 to, you know, 12 snaps on special teams.
Stay on the right, Terry.
Coach, the penalties were a major factor in the game. OSU coach said that was probably the biggest reason that they won. Can you take us into your world? How will you address that this week and next week? And, you know, what does that look like? Is it a discipline problem? Is it a coaching problem?
Well, I think one is understanding the situation. You know, it's twice now in 2 weeks. Defensively, teams have gotten into the red zone and used a hard count and caused us to jump off sides that have created first downs, which then in turn they went and scored after that play. So it's two consecutive weeks of that. So I think, one, it's an understanding of where we're at on the field and when people are utilizing that hard count to create first and goal opportunities. So that's the first part. The second part is getting the players to understand there's consequences to the errors that we make. And whether they're poor play calls, whether they're jumping off sides, whatever those things are, there's consequences. And the consequence in game is that's a free 5 yards that can result in a potential first down that can give them a new set of downs. So we've got to understand those things. You know, we addressed it this morning in the team meeting. We'll address it throughout the week. But it goes back to practice habits. You know, we practice hard. We practice tough. I'm not ever questioning that about our team. But we need to practice smart and understanding the situations within practice that we try to create so that when they come up in game, we know how to handle them.
I'm Steve, same with the penalty question. After review, did you feel that discrepancy was fair, and does that need to be addressed at all with the conference?
The fouls were called. We didn't perform well enough, and that's what we need to focus on. I can't be concerned about how things get called or don't get called. I need to focus on what we need to do and how we can get better.
Stay on the left, Chip. Sark is a play caller. What do you do when your quarterback's making the right read, he's throwing it to the right guy, but they're not connecting, and your running game is feast or famine?
Yeah.
As you said, what do you do in that?
Yeah, I think the one is, you know, we've got to keep pressing for more precision in the passing game, you know, and that starts in practice. And you know, of really making a point and an emphasis of the timing and the where we're at on the field and when the ball should be thrown and the correct spacing on the field. So that's going back to work. That's going back to practice. And that's getting guys working well together with Quinn, with the receivers, with the tight ends, of the timing of when these balls should be thrown and where they should be thrown and where they can expect that ball to be thrown. You know, we're a little bit off. You know, we're just not exactly where I would like us to be. There were some great plays that were made. I mean, obviously that you don't throw for 320 yards without having some good plays in there, but there was plenty of missed opportunities as well that I think we'd all love to have back. And some of that isn't always with the quarterback and the receiver. Sometimes that's the protection, you know, whether that's a guy getting beat one-on-one or a guy missing an assignment that is forcing an earlier throw than he would like to throw it, or forcing a little bit of an errant throw. So it all ties together. It takes all 11 to make that work. I think from a run game standpoint, you know, I was probably a little bit more harsh on the run game post-game, if there's anything in there. I thought we found some things in the run game that gave us some consistency in the fourth quarter that I probably should have called more of those style of runs as the game adjusted. But that's, again, like I said, you guys know me well enough. When the game's over, I analyze my play calling, whether we score 50 points, 30 points, or 13 points. You know, I analyze it tough and hard because I want to be better for our players the next time we go out. And I think there were some things in this game that, as I look back on, I could have been better too, to be fair to those guys, to put them in the best position to be successful.
Hey, Steve, you know, the perception of giving up those leads in the second half is kind of a reality now. On this bye week, how do you keep that from eking into the psyche of young people who were smart enough to realize that this keeps happening?
Sure. No, I think the reality of it is what we're trying to get to is there's got to be a level of consistency in play. And so, like this morning, for example, I go through our tape with our guys and I show them the game. And, you know, part of it is something very simple is just, you know, effort and population of the ball defensively. I can show a clip in the first quarter or the second quarter where we're flying to the ball, we're getting hats to the ball. Then I can show a play late in the game Saturday where a ball gets completed and we've got a guy wrapped up. And I look and we've got guys watching a tackle being made rather than five hats flying to the ball to help get that man on the ground. And so it's about consistency in our style of play. Ultimately, it comes down to execution. And those are things that, you know, at critical moments in the game, it's about doing your job and doing your job really well and doing it with a consistent manner. You know, the third down scramble that the quarterback has, they're throwing a screen pass to the right. And we defend the screen really well, and we actually had a spy on the quarterback. But the guy who was the spy on the quarterback went to go help on the screen, which wasn't his job. It wasn't a lack of effort. He wanted to help go make a play, but ultimately you still have to do your job at those critical moments in the game. So those are the things we're trying to emphasize.
Yeah, Coach, you know, after the game, Quinn had talked about like a fingernail, you know, kind of being missing or being lifted at some point during the week. In hindsight, did that have any effect, do you think, on his performance? And if you don't think that affected him at all, what would you attribute, like, as you look back at the film, as to like the performance that we saw?
Yeah, I don't think it attributed to it. He threw all week. He threw great. I don't think the ball was the issue Saturday. Again, I thought there were some things in there that the precision wasn't right, whether it was him, receivers, O-line, all of it tying together. And ultimately, as a young player on the road, sometimes you can then start to play a little bit hesitant as opposed to just a knowing. And that's what we have to get ourselves to as a group. And it's not just him, it's as a group. When we go into a game and we know how these plays are going to go and how they're going to work predicated off the what we think we're going to get. And then the responsibility of the quarterback, whoever it is to know when we don't get those premier looks that we're looking for, where those secondary reads are, the second, third, fourth reads in the progression. So those are things that we're going to work on with him this week.
On your left, Kirk.
Yes, Steve, your record's 10-10. How much further along did you think your program would be, and what are some of those reasons?
I'm not concerned about, you know, it's easy to look at the record. We've come a long way as a program. I feel very good about where we've come. I love our style of play. I think we play hard. We play tough. You know, like a lot of programs, I think we're a work in progress. You know, a couple balls bounce a certain way and our record's different. I wouldn't change how I feel about our program and the direction that we're going in. So, you know, naturally for me, we have to continue to stay the course with what we're doing and a belief in what we're doing. I don't think we wavered a year ago when things got hard in October, November. We won't waver this year. We'll stick to the plan, stick to the course. And I think we've got a great deal of belief in our locker room and what we do and why we do it.
Steve, once a week sports are tough because the emotional swings are so drastic. Now you get 2 weeks. DeMarvian told us, can't let these guys go into a dark place. How do you kind of keep that from happening after this?
Well, I think one, it's, you know, when you hear it from a leader on your team, that naturally it's inside of our locker room that those guys aren't going to let that happen. I think that's the best case scenario. When you talk player-led teams, it's the conversations in the locker room are as much or more important than the conversations I have in a team. You know, an aggressive style of play, they got a really good pass rusher. But those are just the beginning stages for us. You know, we're a little bit more methodical when we have an extra week to prepare. So I don't have all of the nuances to it, but a very good football team that I think coming out of even Saturday's game is thinking they kind of let one get away, you know, with the way they were playing early in the game and then the way the game went. So they've got a big one this week against Oklahoma State. Like I said, there's a lot that's going to happen in our conference. We got to make sure we mow our own lawn and take care of our own business.
Steve, you were saying that in the running game, maybe looking back, were you referring to that drive that started with the pass to Billingsley for 20 yards and Bijan runs for 13 and 9 and Roshan for 5? You got down into their territory. Were you thinking, you know, do we go for it on fourth down, or is that the drive you were thinking about?
I think that's the one. I think we had a first down kind of in the red area there, and We ran the ball, I think, for like a gain of two, maybe, or maybe even a no gain. I can't remember the exact scenario, but it was. And then I think we threw a pass to Keelan on their sideline, which we just missed, which then in turn puts us in third down. And thought we had a good call and pretty good throw by Quinn. We just missed Xavier kind of in the far end zone there. That happens, you know. I mean, I just don't think you can play football as a one-dimensional team. You got to have balance. You know, we felt like we had a good play call on second down to, if we complete it, whether it's a first down or maybe we're in a third and short scenario. I was trying to stay out of third and longs because I just felt like we were in third and long all game long and putting us behind the eight ball. So I was trying to find a play that could give us something that would get us into third and short. We didn't convert it. So now all of a sudden you're playing a third and long scenario again. So, hey, you know, do you run it again? And if they tackle that one, we're playing third and long there too. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Like I said, I look at every angle of the way we call it and what we do and why we do what we do. You know, didn't work. So that sometimes that happens.
You know, Coach, obviously, you're going to have lots of close games going forward. You know, Bert Auburn has missed some field goals for you guys this season. I think he's missed five. Have you thought about potentially reopening, you know, that kicking competition that was so close, you know, in the spring and in training camp? And the second part is, what's the kind of plan for you guys as a coaching staff and players for scheduling-wise for the rest of the week?
No, I feel good about what we're doing kicking game-wise. I think I thought Will had a really good game kicking off Saturday in a pretty tough environment. When that ball got up in the air, the wind, there were some issues there. And I thought he placed the ball really well. The one return they got out on, kick return, we didn't cover it great. We had a little mishap into the boundary. But the rest of it, I thought we covered really well against a very good return team. And that was because of his placement of his kicks. He's done a nice job. You know, Bert's made some big kicks for us this year. Obviously had two more field goals prior to the miss that he had in the fourth quarter. He just rushed the kick, you know, at the end of the day, he's more than capable of making that kick, and he'll make plenty more kicks for us this year moving forward. Oh, schedule-wise, yes. Yeah. So we didn't practice today. We're doing some community service work today with the guys and focusing on academics. We'll practice. We'll have a light practice tomorrow. Then we'll practice Wednesday and Thursday, and then we won't practice Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, and we'll be back on the field Monday.
I guess we'll just keep with the special teams game. What are your thoughts about the punting game right now and just how Daniel has performed since he took over that job?
I thought Daniel punted terrific Saturday. I mean, some phenomenal punts. I mean, very rarely do you see a 54-yarder to the one-yard line, but I thought he's had really good hang time. We've really minimized the returns, and our gunners are playing fantastic. Keaton Crawford, Keelan Robinson have been tremendous. I thought our protection's been good in the punt game. Really proud of those guys. I think the one punt Danny would like to have back was his last punt of the game, which was just the one he missed hit all game long. He punted the ball really well, but he hits, I think it was a 23-yarder or whatever it was late in the game. So been proud of the work that he's done. You know, he's, again, given us an opportunity to cover. He's punting it in the right direction, and he's letting the cover guys go cover, and we're really negating any return game in the punt game right now.
Are you right, Joe?
When the offense might get into a slog, are you talking more with AJ upstairs or Kyle on the sideline?
The whole staff, whole offensive staff, yeah. With constant dialogue, we're all rolling.
Is there anything specific that Eye in the Sky provides from AJ?
We ask a lot of information, you know, fronts, pressures, coverages, spacing on the field, potential reads, potential next calls to make based off of alignment of what the defense gave us to previous formations and personnel grouping. So our dialogue's really good. We're fortunate. We've all worked together for quite some time now between myself, Coach Flood, AJ, Coach Banks. A lot of our analyst staff has been with us now for 2 years. And then I think Coach Choice and Coach Marion at this stage of the game, being eight games in, they're very comfortable with the dialogue on the headset.
Yeah, you mentioned you're giving them the weekend off. You guys doing any team building type thing on the weekend, or do you encourage them to watch some football, stay around the game a bit?
I encourage that, but I also encourage them to get around their families. I think that, you know, we've gone 12 straight weeks, you know, when you think about training camp, and then 8 straight games. I think these guys need an opportunity to go see their loved ones, see their moms, dads, aunts, uncles, you know, family members, take a step back. But I also do think there is a reflection needed. You know, yeah, watch the Oklahoma State-Kansas State game. Reflect on it. Look at it from a different perspective. And then when we get back Sunday night, we come together, then it's time to go again. But I do think that it's healthy to sometimes take a step back. You know, we'll do our work this week like we did. We covered the game this morning. We'll practice for 3 days. They'll get a good lift Friday morning before they head out. But I do think there's time for some reflection, and it's a great time to be around our loved ones before we go for a really good stretch here for a month straight again.
Steve, the duo of Bijan and Roshan. Bijan's getting into some rarefied air, but on the Texas list, Roshan making the most of his. And then the personality, Bijan's kind of the positive guy. Roshan, maybe you'll get in your face a little more. What has that duo meant to this team, and in tough times, what do they mean to this team?
Well, they're both fantastic individuals, and they're different. You're spot on. They are different people, but what they provide is really pretty incredible. And I think you feel their personalities even more during the tough times. I think they're both very aware people, and they can feel when things are good, and they kind of almost step back and let it be good, and then when there is adversity that strikes, they're the first ones that want to step into the arena to make sure that everything is tight and on the same page. I'll never forget a year ago, Roshan stepping up in front of the team after the Kansas game and having a discussion with the team, with myself being there, about what was going to be needed moving forward. So I just think that those guys are wired the right way. They're unbelievable human beings. Forget how good of players they are. They're great human beings. They've got bright, bright futures ahead of them, whether it's in football, in the business world, in life. They're the right type of people. And I think that they're setting an unbelievable example for a lot of our younger players of what it looks like to be a Longhorn and what it means to be a leader in our program.
You didn't switch to Hudson Card at all. Did you consider it very strongly, and are you open to that if Quinn has future struggles?
Yeah, I didn't consider it very strongly in the game. You know, obviously, it's easy. You know, the quarterback position gets way too much credit when things go good and gets way too much blame when things don't go good. You know, like I said, that would I have liked more precision in the passing game? Does some of that responsibility fall on him? Yes. Some of that responsibility falls on me. Some of it falls on the receivers. Some of it falls on the O-line, the running backs. Everybody has to assume their own responsibility in that. So there's definitely room for growth. He's still a young player for us, but he's got bright future ahead of him. And you know, hopefully we can clean up some of the issues that we had this week so that going into next week, into game week, he's back to razor sharp. Potentially, you know, I don't think that way. I think about what's best for our team in the moment. But I think Quinn is wired the right way. You know, I think he'll be the first one to tell you he would have loved to play better than he did. I think every one of our players will probably say the same thing, you know. So now what do you do about it? You know, we can only sit back and reflect on the woe is me and the poor me's. I need to focus on, okay, what am I going to do to play better the next time I get my opportunity?
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
Longhorns head coach Steve Sarkisian with the weekly news.